When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
When you visit Arizona, time is measured in moments, not minutes. Like the moment you see the Grand Canyon for the first time. Visit a new state of mind. Learn more at hereyouareaz.com.
Welcome back to the Realm of Superior Intellect. Today, Rachel's going to educate us.
Yes, I am. Hello, Spencer Reed stans.
Welcome back to Hyper Focus.
Don't lie to me. I know you all. If you listen to the Dark Empath one, and you're still here,
yeah,
and you like random knowledge, I know you're a Spencer Reed stan.
Or you're just not yet.
Somewhere deep in your heart, you probably are.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm gonna tell them about my theory.
Okay, go ahead.
I had a theory about this actually. Like when we first got on Instagram. Mm-hmm. We were kind of building our target audience, and something that I said that I thought might be spot on is all of the Spencer Reed stans.
And boy, was she correct.
Yeah. Listen, to test it out, I followed a ton of Spencer Reed fan accounts, and I just want you to know that it was for market research, and I'm sorry, we just wanted you to listen to our podcast. I don't care about your content.
So mean. Although she does love Spencer Reed.
Shh. This isn't about me.
Rachel based her target audience off of herself.
Well, you know, okay. Moving on. This isn't about me. I just wanted to roast them, okay?
I'm just saying you should be included.
Right. Yeah, but I don't want to roast myself. That's the problem.
I'll roast you. No worries.
Oh, great. Okay. Well, before you roast me, I would like to roast you.
Oh, no.
It's time for everyone's favorite segment, 8-second apologies. Mm.
This is going to be shorter than 8 seconds this week, probably.
In what world?
Just that you don't have too much to apologize for.
Well, it's 8 seconds. It's not supposed to be a lot of apologies. If I hadn't had the time to apologize for everything, it would be a 2-hour episode. So I'm just going to get on with it before you try to stop me. I sincerely apologize for Lauren proposing conspiracy after conspiracy after conspiracy, only to conclude that there was no conspiracy. I would also really like to apologize for Lauren agreeing with LA law enforcement in the 60s and 80s.
Sometimes you have to agree with them. Sometimes they're right.
No. Not in the 60s and 80s, my friend. That's kind of the whole point of the little thing at the end where we said LAPD is my favorite scapegoat.
Well,
I just hit my laptop with my...
You're allowed to have that opinion.
I've said it before. I've probably said it before on the podcast. My opinions are the objective truth.
Well,
and it's not my fault when people are offended by the truth.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is why Rachel has a co-host.
I don't know. I think I'd do pretty well.
Nah.
Just in general. By myself. It's just me making narcissistic statements for 3 hours straight every week.
You would definitely fill up the time.
Oh, I absolutely would. Oh boy. Okay, well anyway, moving on. It's the end of the medieval period.
Correct.
It's the beginning of the Renaissance.
Mm-hmm.
What's happening in Strasbourg in modern day France, but was actually a city in the Holy Roman Empire at the time?
I have no idea.
I know you don't. But I will tell you what's happening. Horrible things.
Good. As always.
Death. Mm-hmm. Destruction. Mm-hmm. Hopelessness. Mm-hmm. The impending doom of staring down death every morning as you awaken every eve as you close your eyes, for the specter of death hangs in the air like a thick fog.
That's dramatic.
Would you like some examples?
Yes, please.
I'm going to give you the short version.
Okay.
These are just a couple of the best or worst examples.
Okay.
Leading up to the main event here.
Okay.
So in 1348, we have the... Do you know it?
No.
Come on. You know it.
What?
The bubonic plague. Duh. 1 year later in not in 1949, but in 1349, we have a pogrom. What's a pogrom, Rachel? Well, I shall tell you, dear listener. It is a massacre aimed at a certain group of people. This one was called the Strasbourg Massacre.
That little conversation Rachel just had with herself is what this podcast would be like if I wasn't here. You're welcome.
It was awesome. In our case, this was February 14th, 1349. That is correct. It is a Valentine's Day, where hundreds of Jews were publicly burnt to death, and those who were not executed were driven out of the city.
Oh my gosh.
Why? Because the Jewish people were often falsely blamed for the European outbreaks of the bubonic plague.
Oh, okay.
Unfortunately.
That's so sad.
Yeah. Then there was some more bad stuff done to the Jewish communities for a while, and some more not great stuff in general for everyone. I'm gonna skip ahead to 1492. Meteor strikes a nearby town. Cool, right?
No.
Correct. It's not cool. Why? A man.
Oh, no. Men.
I wish we had the, I wish we could use the clip from New Girl. A white man? No! It's still really loud, but whatever. Anyway, yeah, a man ruined the meteor strike for everyone.
Shocking.
I know. Well, it was a young lawyer and humanist, Sebastian Brandt. He said that the meteor symbolized God's wrath and righteous anger towards the people's unholiness.
Ooh.
Panic ensued,
mm-hmm.
as it does. Now, following Brandt, there was another humanist and scholar in Strasbourg. I'm not even going to try to say his name, because, you know.
You can't pronounce it.
Well, it's Kaisersberg, his last name, but the whole name is long, so whatever. You need to know Kaisersberg, that's okay. It. And he was generally a super, like, gentle and merciful dude in general, to the point where he stopped hearing confessions in his church because he couldn't bring it upon himself to, like, tell people what they needed to do.
Oh.
Like, it was, yeah, very cute. But he knew of a lot of corruption mm-hmm. amongst the nuns and the clergymen, and he publicly rebuked them. What did he rebuke them for? Oh my goodness, so much. Well, to begin with, the monks and nuns were supposed to live the ascetic lifestyle. But what he found was the complete opposite.
Yikes.
He accused monks and nuns of getting busy.
Oh.
Quite a bit. And not only that, but then murdering their bastard children.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
He said that the corpses of five children had been found buried in a local cloister.
Wow.
Yes. Monks and priests took concubines. They pretty much all had massive appetites for food and drink and sleep and totally neglected prayer and pastoral duties. Now, I'm going to read you a quote. It's long, but I had to put the whole thing in there because it's awesome.
Excellent.
I do not want to tell you what book this is from, because if I tell you the title, it will give everything away.
Okay.
Quote, "In most monasteries and nunneries, the asceticism of medieval founders had been long ago set aside. Gone were the days of beds of straw and bland fare and the exacting regimes of song and prayer and the abrasive louse-infested hair shirts. Many of the clergy, especially the canons and nuns, were the younger sons and daughters of nobles or wealthy burghers. They weren't willing to forego the rich tastes and styles they had acquired in growing up. And so canons and monks wore coiffured hair, daggers strapped to their belts, and fashionable slippers. While nuns who were meant to don habits of unfinished and undyed wool and to spend their days in silence or prayer were to be seen visiting taverns, wearing jewels, belts sparkling with gold, and caps with ostrich feathers streaming behind."
Oh.
So not exactly asceticism.
No.
Not at all.
No.
Not at all. Just a couple more examples of some things he mm-hmm. found. A Dominican nun had been caught with a workman.
Oh.
You know what I mean by caught.
Oh, I know what you mean.
You know what I mean by caught.
Oh, I know what you mean.
And in response, the nunnery doors were locked, and all males under the age of 50 were banned from entering. Also found excessive, rich, expensive foods and fine wines. Now, upon seeing all of this corruption
mm-hmm.
in the church, did all of this stop happening when Kaisersberg found out about it?
I'm guessing no.
No, it did not. Why? Because a monk threatened to murder him.
Good.
Yes, that's good. What you want from your monks.
Mm-hmm.
Now, anyway, just heading back to the more general sphere of the bad things that are happening, we have higher taxes. We have peasants banned from doing things like picking berries and fishing and collecting firewood from the local forests.
Yikes.
I don't think this was privately owned property. I don't know how that happened. Now, I need to get you to 1518.
Okay.
And we're still in 1492. So I'm going to give you a little bit of a speed round.
Mm-hmm.
There were a series of tragedies, and it went something like this.
Okay.
But this is, again, this is not all of them, but here we go. Ready?
Yes.
Okay.
Go.
I don't know if I am. Famine, horrible winters, torrential rains, plans for bloody riots and revenge on those who had been taking advantage of the peasants. One guy was a snitch. Mostly everyone was hanged or beheaded because of the snitch. Government enforced moral overhaul? Nope. They tried, but they were met with excessive hedonism. Syphilis outbreak? It caused people's skin to fall off. More dead crops. Massive hailstorms. More famine. More bubonic plague. More terrible winters. More drought. Smallpox. Leprosy. Finally, in 1517, the English sweat came to Strasbourg, which caused people to die of excessive sweating, dehydration, and delirium.
We thought 2020 was bad.
Yeah. Whew, that was a lot. Okay, I'm out of breath.
If you missed some of that, go back and listen to it again, because I'll it's do it again. Horrible.
Famine, horrible. I don't think I can do that twice.
No.
So
you're great the first time.
I know. basically trauma. Lots of trauma. Generational trauma.
Yeah.
All that fun stuff. Now, somewhere in there, somewhere in that speed round, people started having some reactions to this. And one of those is that this kind of led some people to see visions of their dead loved ones.
Okay.
Walking the earth.
Okay.
Author John Waller, who is also who that other quote came from,
yeah,
but I still will not disclose the name of the book, says that, quote, thousands imagined their dead relations to have escaped from purgatory, running and screaming to the music of drum and pipe. Many of those killed in battle were reported to be carrying their bloodied and mutilated limbs.
Oh, wow.
Yes, quite.
Yeah.
One woman said that she saw her husband, who's a deceased soldier, holding his own bloodied, severed head.
That's terrifying. Mm.
Yes. Yes, ma'am. Now, what do you do with unresolved trauma in 1518? You rave.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Do you have any idea where I'm going with this?
No.
Okay, wonderful. That's what I wanted to hear. This brings us to July of 1518. Frau Trophia, or Trophia, there's a couple different ways of saying it. I'm going with Trophia because I think that's the best way. Frau Trophia walked into the street. What do you think she did there?
Did she dance?
She did dance! Do you now you know where I'm going with this.
Mm-hmm. So, I had wondered if this is where you were going with this, and then you said, and then there was a rave, and I was like, there's no way this is where she's going with this.
It is exactly where I'm going with this. How much about this do you know?
As much as you told me within a week of us living together and you've been like, yes, what? You told me about
when,
it one time.
When?
I don't remember, but it was the middle of the night and you were sitting on the couch.
I tend to do that.
But you hadn't done a lot of research and you didn't tell me a lot of details.
I learned a lot.
Yeah.
In my research.
I'm very excited to do a deep dive. I was hoping that you would actually do an episode on this eventually because I think it's very interesting.
Yeah, I had to do an episode on this. You can't not
do an episode on this.
No, well.
They still don't know what we're talking about. We should tell them. Or you should tell them.
I will tell them. So she danced. And then what did she do next? She danced.
Mm-hmm.
And then she kept dancing.
Mm-hmm.
No music.
Uh-huh.
Just dance.
Yeah.
Just dance. It'll be okay.
Except it wasn't okay.
It was not okay. Also, I can't sing too much of that song because...
Copyright!
Fine. I think we're good as long as it's under 30 seconds, so... Well, she did this. She continued to dance until she collapsed from exhaustion.
Yeah.
And as soon as she recovered, she continued to dance. Because that's what one does.
Yeah.
It was compulsive and wild and frenzied, and it seemed as though she was unable to stop. Now, rumor has it that some people thought she did this to spite her husband because he hated dancing.
I wish that was the explanation. Like, I think that would be the best.
I'm gonna say probably not, though.
Probably not.
Probably not. And why not? Well, because it was very frenzied. And she was bleeding from her feet, so much so that it soaked through her shoes.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's so horrible.
Not a fun rave. Other people theorize that it was perhaps divine wrath. Throwback to the meteor and the panic surrounding divine wrath. Or Saint Vitus. Now, Saint Vitus was believed to aid those with conditions like epilepsy, but also could inflict it upon people. So sometime around 16th century, Saint Vitus came to be believed by the 16th century Europeans to be able to curse people and inflict the dancing plague upon them. Now, this is... my understanding of this is not something that is really canon. Like it's not really in the canon of Saint Vitus, but the idea had spread A little bit. It was like somewhat widespread, but also that was when that started to come into being. That was kind of like pre-printing press and stuff. Right. So how much could it really get around? But Frau Trophia would have known about it because just 30 miles east of Strasbourg, there was a shrine to St. Vitus. And she was taken there on July 20th, 6 days after she had begun dancing.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Unfortunately, however, within those 6 days before she had been taken.
Yeah.
While she was dancing.
Uh-huh.
Within less than 6 days, more than 30 other people had joined her.
Whoa.
Sharing in her affliction. Dancing in the streets out of compulsion.
Mm.
And thus, the dancing plague of 1518 began.
Wow.
Yes. Now, these dancers, they were not enjoying themselves. They were not dancing for fun.
No,
they began to experience exhaustion and injury and would also bleed from their feet. Oh, and yet, man, they would not stop. Soon, people began to die from their injuries and exertions, and they screamed to God for help.
Wow.
Sound less sad.
It is so sad.
I know, but
it's very interesting.
I just had caffeine and I'm like...
jazzed.
I'm jazzed. Oh, yeah. That's a good way of putting it. I'm jazzed.
They were also feeling jazz and they were loving it a little less.
Jazz was feeling them. Now, fortunately, city officials realized well before... Oh my goodness. I switched that piece of information. I almost gave something away.
That would have been tragic.
It would have been tragic. Okay.
I like that that's what we're defining as tragic.
Correct. Now, fortunately, city officials realized that this was a major issue.
Yeah, no kidding.
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, they handled it exactly how you would expect them to handle it in 1518.
Yeah.
With terrible medical advice.
Good.
So, these city officials brought in some physicians, and the physicians determined that this epidemic was the effect of hot blood, especially hot blood on the brain. Even worse than the diagnosis was the city officials' treatment plan. Do you know what it was?
I don't know. Okay, good.
I don't remember how much I told you about this. Their treatment plan was more dancing.
Oh.
They good. They just gonna dance it out. They gonna dance out the infection, affliction, curse. Ugh. I don't know. They're just gonna dance it out. So in order for this to happen, they went all out. They cleared a space in an open-air market and assigned two guild halls to be used by the afflicted dancers.
Oh, wow.
They also constructed a massive stage. And they brought in professional dancers to dance with them.
What? That's horrible.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Well, they seemed to think it would work.
Yeah.
But they did not stop there.
Oh, no.
They also hired professional musicians to accompany the dancing. And
can you imagine being one of those musicians? Like,
gig of a lifetime.
No. No, Rachel.
I played in my buddy's wedding last week, but this week.
Oh, no.
Yeah, yes. They hired professional musicians. And then they also paid men. They paid strong men to assist in keeping the afflicted upright while they danced by holding up their exhausted bodies.
Oh, my gosh.
You're going to hate this detail. Keeps getting worse. The band would sometimes even use a faster tempo after people collapsed or were held up.
No.
Or encouraged to get up and keep going.
No.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's horrible.
Yeah, it is horrible, but it's what they did. As you can guess, putting them in the public eye and everything else that they did to try to cure this made things infinitely worse.
Yeah.
It exacerbated the condition of those who were already afflicted, but it also exacerbated the contagion.
Yeah.
So it started to spread a lot faster.
Yeah.
Dancers were collapsing from exhaustion in the summer heat, bleeding through their shoes, screaming in pain, and many even died from exhaustion, strokes, heart attacks.
Wow.
All that fun stuff.
So were there some people who recovered, or did everyone who was afflicted die?
We're getting there.
Okay.
No spoilies.
Okay, fine.
I don't remember what spoilies is from. Is it from Brooklyn Nine-Nine? I have no idea.
I don't know.
But it's in my head. Anyway, at the height of the epidemic, as many as 15 people a day died, and it is estimated that around 400 people either were afflicted or died. Different accounts.
Okay.
So different things.
Wow.
But I believe that the prevailing story is that about 400 people died from dancing.
Wow.
Dancing themselves to death.
That's, like, horrifying. Why aren't there movies about this?
There are.
There are.
I mean, most of them are, like, documentaries.
Yeah.
I tried to watch one. I had to pay for it, so I didn't watch it.
No, but there should be, like, a horror movie about this. Like, be so much more original than so many of them.
You actually could make a good horror movie out of this, I think.
Yeah.
Like a Midsummer style mm-hmm. kind of thing. Where it's not like just a slasher.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I've actually never seen Midsummer, so I don't even know if that's true.
I don't know.
Right. It would be more of a psychological thriller.
Exactly.
Anyway, finally the council realized that this was not working.
No kidding.
And they changed course.
A little late.
I mean, that would have been helpful if they kept people away from each other. But no, that's not exactly what they went for. Instead, they now thought that this was of a spiritual nature.
Okay.
And perhaps the people who had warned of divine wrath as punishment for their loose morals were correct.
Mm. Interesting.
And they did a complete 180. Now, instead of dancing being encouraged, it was banned. And anyone caught dancing before the end of September would be fined. Yeah, they put an end date on it, kind of.
Yeah.
Kind of. Music was also banned. Kind of.
Yeah.
String instruments were allowed in weddings and masses, but no drums or tambourines anywhere ever.
It feels like it would be really dark, like, to have your wedding to have music in your wedding when, like, you knew people were dancing and dying. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like music has been banned so people don't dance, but now that we're at our wedding, we're going to not dance, but listen to music. Like,
I don't know how much dancing occurred in 16th century French weddings to begin with.
In general, if music is banned for everything except for, like, a wedding or a funeral, it'd be really weird to have music for that, I feel like.
Yeah, it would. It would. But it was only string.
But those musicians would be thrilled to actually have a gig.
Stringed. Instruments. So, because they thought that, like, drums and tambourines, I guess they just had too much of a strong tempo.
Beats too good.
Yeah, beat too good. But unfortunately, the banning of dancing and music wasn't enough. The people who were afflicted by this just continued to dance.
But because they had to.
Because they had to. But they did it in their own homes, and they still seemed unable to cease dancing.
Wow.
So then they finally came up with another solution. Like, they thought that perhaps a spiritual problem should have a spiritual solution, not banning things.
Yeah.
If it's a spiritual problem.
Yeah.
Thus, they were put into carts and taken to the aforementioned shrine of St. Vitus, some 30 miles away.
Mm.
Once there, they performed a sort of ritualistic treatment. The dancers were each given a pair of red shoes. They were led in a circle around a likeness of St. Vitus. Each dancer made an offering of one pfennig to the icon of St. Vitus.
Mm-hmm.
They were prayed over by priests, and they were blessed with holy water. Did it work?
No.
It did.
It did?
It worked.
What?
It worked. Then comes the question of why did it work?
Yeah, maybe it actually was a spiritual problem.
Mm-hmm. So there's a couple possibilities here.
Yeah.
One of which being that perhaps it was a spiritual problem, or it at least had a spiritual element.
Right, right.
Other theories include that this is the first time that the lower classes weren't being oppressed, but rather they were being helped. That has a big effect on the psyche.
Yeah.
Also, they could have just believed that they were going to be healed.
Yeah, placebo effect kind of thing.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, they could have, you know, just even believing that they were being healed, that could have been enough to heal them. So what was the cause of this dancing plague? That is what a lot of people have tried to figure out. And what a lot of people in the 16th century tried to figure out.
Yeah.
A lot of them came to the same conclusion of divine wrath.
Yeah.
But when contemporary scholars look at this, they come up with a lot of a different.
Okay.
Very different than spiritual wrath, or at least solely divine wrath. I'm gonna give you, I guess it's, I'm gonna give you three proposed causes, and they get better as we go.
Okay.
The first one is religious subversion and heresy. So some thought that they were dancing out of a blatant disregard for God, That they were giving themselves over to the passions, or that they were some sort of heretical religious sect. That this was some like ritual for them or something. Here's why this is an issue. They didn't want to be dancing.
No, they didn't. And they were in so much pain and literally dying from it.
Yes. And they were begging for help. And they were begging for help from God and the saints.
Yep. So that doesn't work.
The second one is ergotism, or ergot poisoning. So ergot is a fungus that grows on rye, some similar plants. And they would use rye to cook, make bread, all of those kinds of things. So it's possible that they could have eaten some of this. Some claim that it produces a chemical that's related to LSD. But
interesting.
I don't know how accurate that is. I don't know what related means, you know? Yeah. People say related. How similar is it really? I don't know.
It's your third cousin on your mom's side.
Yeah, it could be. Or it could be like almost chemically the same. Yeah. I don't know. I'm not a chemist.
Somebody tell us if you know.
I don't care that much.
I want to know.
Okay. Well, there are two kinds of ergotism. Convulsive and gangrenous. So convulsive ergotism causes hallucinations and violent spasms and twitching.
Okay.
However, if this were the case, couple problems. Why would they continue until they died?
Yeah. That's
like twitching and spasms doesn't always equal dance. In fact, it usually doesn't.
Yeah.
And why would they continue until they died? And also, why didn't everyone, or at least a higher percentage of people, experience ergotism?
Yeah.
If they had all eaten the same food. And why didn't any of the cases present as gangrenous?
Yeah.
Like there were no accounts of gangrene at all. Feels like more than 400 people would have gotten.
Yeah, definitely.
And then this brings us to the last one. Now, this is the most widely accepted theory, and this is that this was a case of mass psychogenic illness and belief in supernatural agency. For those of you who don't know, mass psychogenic illness is the new word for mass hysteria.
Yeah.
So mass psychogenic illness usually takes place under extreme stress, and it often actually resembles cultural beliefs and fears. So
makes sense.
Yeah. Makes a lot of sense here. So they were under very, very high stress from the social and religious issues and conflicts and disease and dying crops and famines and poverty and their skin falling off from syphilis and all of the other horrible things that were happening there at this time. And that would lead to heightened suggestibility, as it does. Now, interestingly, this was not the first dancing plague, but it was the last
that
we know of. It's definitely the most well-recorded, and it seems to be the one that had the most casualties by far.
Right.
It's not clear when the idea of St. Vitus being able to punish sinners by forcing them to dance came into play, but like I said earlier, it was like something that they probably would have known about.
Yeah.
And this would really prime them to believe that this is how their sin would be punished.
Right.
Especially being so close to that shrine of St. Vitus.
They'd be very well primed for that.
Very well primed for that.
And they'd been very well primed to like believe God's wrath was coming and all of that. So that would play into it.
Exactly. And if they're primed to believe that this is how their sin would be punished, in a somewhat dissociative state, they would probably do what they think is supposed to happen to people who are possessed or divinely cursed.
Right.
There are many accounts of this, not with dancing plagues, but with other things, of like nuns doing like foaming at the mouth and like climbing trees and stuff, because like that's what they had heard of happening to people who were possessed.
Yep.
Additionally, everything that the city officials did, at least in the beginning, to attempt to stop this epidemic would actually make a case of mass psychogenic illness much worse.
Yep.
They kind of did it to themselves.
Yeah.
They put all of the afflicted together in public for everyone to see.
On stage.
On literally stage.
They made it a rock concert.
They did. Direct line of sight to the stage for everyone.
Yep.
So it's in their line of vision.
That'll do it. And then you're just sitting there like, okay, when is this going to happen to me?
Exactly. Exactly. If they believe that this is divine wrath, that's exactly what's going to happen.
Yep.
They are they're always worrying that they're going to be next. And it essentially became a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yep.
Now, these are all just theories. Want to make that clear.
We don't know for sure.
We don't know exactly why this happened, but we do know that around 400 people danced themselves to death in modern-day France in 1518.
Wow.
So I will say now what the book was. I got a free sample of the book from Amazon. Now, I hate ebooks. I do not read ebooks. Yeah, no. I have seething hatred for ebooks. I could not stop reading this on my phone. My phone. Who am I? Disgusting. But the
Rachel hates her phone. That's a different discussion. Book? Well, not her phone. Phones.
Well, I mean, kind of. but even more than that, I hate ebooks. I need paper. But I could not stop reading this book because this book was so good. And I was about to buy it last night, like buy the whole thing at like 1:30 in the morning. And then I decided that I could not because I would have stayed up all night reading it because it was so good. Aww. So good.
You need to order the paper copy.
I'm going to. This is the author that I quoted earlier, John Waller, and the book is The Dancing Plague, The Strange True Story of an Extraordinary Illness. It's amazing. There's so much detail in there. It's so bizarre. That's awesome. And I can't wait to read it. This is one of my favorite historical events. I don't know what that says about me, but it is, and that it is what it is. Mm-hmm. So you're going to have to deal with it.
All right. Happy to.
So what do you think? Do you think this was mass hysteria, to use the common term?
It's tough because I think it was so long ago, and it's so hard to know.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like of the contemporary theories, that's definitely the most plausible. Mm-hmm. It also could have been a combination of things. So let's say that it was a spiritual cause. It could have been mass hysteria for some of the other people involved. You know what I mean? Like other people that assume that they would have been involved.
Mm.
I think it's really hard to know for sure what was going on.
What's weird, the one thing that makes me think maybe this wasn't mass psychogenic illness is that it had happened in multiple places.
That's the thing.
This was pre-printing press.
Yep.
The only reason that this one is well documented is that it came briefly after the invention of the printing press and it being brought to France.
Yep.
That's the only reason we have so much documentation about this. Now, sure, they weren't so cloistered that they couldn't ever hear about anything happening in the world, but this was a very different time. Why would there be multiple cases of this?
Yeah.
I think it was like over the course of like a couple hundred years or multiple cases of this. Can it really be mass hysteria if it's just that? Which, by the way, side note, one of these days I'm going to have to explain the origins of the word hysteria on this podcast because I'm very into that and I hate the origins of it, but it's very interesting.
Yes.
Look it up. But yeah, that's the issue. That's the one issue I take with mass psychogenic illness.
Yeah. I don't even know. Like, I don't.
Hey, I've got a question for you.
Yeah.
It's Friday night.
Yeah.
We record on Fridays, usually.
Yeah.
You want to go dancing?
You are horrible.
Okay, but like if we weren't in the middle of a panoramic, some people aren't going to get that joke. If we weren't in the middle of a pandemic, I would actually want to go dancing.
I am a horrible, horrible dancer.
So are most people in clubs.
No, that's true.
I just love dancing. It would be
fun. You would make fun of me and that would make it more fun for you.
It would make it more fun for me. You know what? Executive decision. We're turning our apartment into a club tonight.
Oh my gosh.
Anyone have a strobe light?
I hate strobe lights.
Gosh. Okay.
They like make me feel sick.
They're supposed to.
Yeah, I know.
It's part of the fun. Dancing through the pain. Oh, wait. That I promise that was not intended to be an indirect correlation with what we were talking about today, but it was, even though it was not intended.
I feel like...
You feel like? What do you feel
no,
like?
No. I'm getting like? There. I feel like for my wedding...
Oh, boy.
It would be really funny if... Because we're going to have, like, you know...
I will...
We're gonna have like a COVID table, so like masks and hand sanitizer and that kind of thing. If we put on a sign that said the only plague you're catching tonight is the dancing plague, and only the people that listen to our podcast would get it. We could put a QR code on the back.
I was gonna ask that, and I was like, I can't ask Lauren to market our podcast at her wedding. But yeah, I can.
Be so funny. It'd be horrible.
What if you had your DJ basically be like the free version of Spotify and every couple of songs he played an ad? And the ad was just for our podcast. But when you started talking about your wedding, I thought you were going to start talking about dancing at your wedding. And I was like, I will do whatever it takes to get the dance floor going.
We're going to need you for that.
That is usually, that's usually my job at weddings.
Yeah.
Is to get the dance floor going. So whatever it takes, I will do it.
Fantastic.
I will do it.
Good.
I'm hype. Hopefully no one bleeds through their shoes or dies.
Yeah.
But that has yet to be seen.
Really hoping.
I mean, my feet have bled while dancing so many times. But I used to be a dancer, so that happens.
Yeah.
I mean, there was one time at a spring formal, I stepped on glass on the dance floor.
That's a different reason for your feet to be bleeding, though. I mean, that's horrible.
Happens. I still dance the night away once I pulled the glass out. Gotta. What are you going to do, stop? No. Well, if you want to see me dancing until maybe my feet bleed, I'm sure there will be some record of me dancing at Lauren's wedding and trying to get her to dance with me.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Will we post that? Yes, we will, because I love attention.
Yeah.
Of course we will. Of course we will post that. Where can they find that, Lauren?
They can find that on our Instagram at hyperfocuspod.
Yeah, but also, and now that I'm realizing this, you might have to wait a bit until the wedding actually happens. But if you follow us, then it'll come up on your feed when it happens. And you can see one or both of us embarrass ourselves or absolutely freaking kill it on the dance floor.
Yep.
Where else can they find us? They think they can find us on Twitter.
Yeah, they can find us on Twitter.
No way, that's awesome.
That's at hyperfocus_pod.
Yes, it is. What about TikTok?
That would be hyperfocuspod.
And you can also send us an email.
That'd be hyperfocuscast@gmail.com.
And you can talk with us and other listeners on our Facebook group.
And our Facebook page. You can go visit there as well. But on our Facebook group, both of those are hyperfocus:.
It is hyperfocus:.
A podcast for chaotic minds.
No, it's just hyperfocus:. Now. I should change it.
No, don't change it.
fine. Yes. Anyway, folks.
We love ya.
Stay dancing chaotically.
Babes.
No, there's something there. Stay chaotic, babes. And dance the night away.
That's crazy.
Sounds like a... Never mind. I was gonna say it's a good way to go.
No. Not a good way to go. Horrible, horrible, horrible way to go.
Yeah. It makes this fun. Now accepting bets on when I will do a topic that doesn't have to do with death.
Oh my goodness.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.